Welcome to Truth and Liberty. Thank you for joining our daily live call-in broadcast, where trusted leaders bring biblical insights to the issues, and you can call in and get your questions answered in real time. According to the Bible, it's the truth you know that sets you free. So call in today to get answers, information, and resources to help you stand for truth and effect godly change in our nation and the world. And now here's your host, Alex McFarland.
Do you think it's hard for young people to grow up in the world today? Hi, Alex McFarland, and welcome to a very special edition of Truth and Liberty. The number, we're going to take calls later in the program, and I have an idea. We're going to talk about some topics that a lot of people would want to weigh in on. The number, 719-619-2341. Well, good evening, everybody, and I hope you've had a great day so far. I hope you had a good Easter. Just this past weekend was Easter. The world over, people celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and yet, so much in the news over the weekend was the fact that the White House said on Saturday, last weekend, during the Easter egg hunt, that there could be no religious symbols on any of the Easter eggs. And then the Lord's resurrection, March 31, 2024, the White House, not commemorating the most significant event in human history, the resurrection of Christ, but calling it Transgender Visibility Day, something that's been recognized since 2009. And more, we've got Pride Month in June, and we've got nearly a dozen LGBTQ trans holidays on the calendar throughout the year now. And I would say this, and we're going to meet a very significant guest just in a moment, that I truly think it's harder than ever for young people to grow up and find their identity. You know, when I was in graduate school, I had the privilege at Liberty University in my master's program of studying developmental psychology and minoring in developmental psych. And we had professors from UCLA Medical School, and we studied how there is obviously toddlerhood and childhood, pre-adolescence, adolescence, late adolescence, young adulthood. Now, during that continuum of time, young people are developing intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, and of course, physically. We all remember what adolescence is like. And part of that process involves boys becoming men, girls becoming young women. And yet we're living in a world where so many mixed messages are given to young people. And now we've been witnessing something that has been known and understood from time immemorial throughout human history, that males are males, females are females. Part of being a man is being masculine. Part of being a female is a femininity. And so more than ever, young people that are in these very formative years, they're getting so many mixed messages. And for that reason, two things I'll say, and then we'll meet our guest. It's imperative that young people, besides the spiritual truth of God's word and knowing Christ and knowing who you are and your worth and value in the eyes of a loving God, that's important. But it's important that young people just understand that their identity and, yes, their gender is a gift from God. God in his wisdom, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, says that humans are made in the image of God, male and female. And yet our world today is so confused about gender, about morals, about human identity itself. Well, for this reason, I'm so glad for the work being done by American Heritage Girls. Our guest, Patty Garaby, is with us to be on Truth and Liberty. And if you've got questions about American Heritage Girls, or if you've got questions about just youth and child rearing and ministry to teens and young people in general, we'll take those types of questions. But I want to say, and I was a Boy Scout. I've been very disappointed where the Boy Scouts have gone in recent years. My sister was a Girl Scout, and I know that they have champion things that are just, I know as a youth and culture expert, things that are not appropriate for the healthy development of children. I'm appreciative of what Patty and her great team are doing with American Heritage Girls, their website, AmericanHeritageGirls.org. She's also the author of the book, Why Curse the Darkness When You Can Light a Candle? Doing vital work. Patty Garibay, thank you for being with us tonight on Truth and Liberty.
It's a real pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Patty, are you there?
I sure am.
Patty, are you there? Yeah, I'm not hearing Patty. So when we get her, let me hear that she's on, if we could, staff. And I'm just going to wait. But let me say this while we get our guests queued up, that the formative years of young people, there was Abraham Maslow was a psychologist. I really don't know where he was spiritually. I really don't have any evidence that he was a Christian. But Abraham Maslow talked about self-actualization. Now, that's not some New Agey term. I know that sometime back in the 80s, New Agey types would talk about being self-actualized. But what it means in terms of mental health professionals is you're comfortable with who you are. And, you know, in speaking at more than 200 American universities, I've met so many young people that that they can be so confused about their gender, confused about the purpose of life. They can be confused about just what their life should be. And it's always heartbreaking when I dialogue with these people, and very often they're frustrated and they're angry. And they're not at peace with themselves. We know peace comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's understandable that when they think life has no purpose, there's no objective, transcendent reason to live, maleness and femaleness, they've been told, is just some social construct. And that's part of critical theory. And a week ago, we had Neil Shenvey on to talk about critical dilemma, PhD from Berkeley University, now a Christian. And he points out what we've been saying for years, that this idea, either there's an objective reality ordained and superintended over by God, or life is just happenstance. And when you don't believe there's truth or there's any objective reason to be alive, look, I disagree with the revision of the left, the redefinition of morals and marriage and sexuality and gender. I completely disagree with what the world is saying now, the woke world, because I know it's false. But yet I understand. I understand why the world seems so confused as it is right now. Do we have our guest, Patty? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, thank you. You are there now. Great. I'm sorry a minute ago that I couldn't hear your voice, but
yes.
I want to say thank you for being with us on Truth and Liberty, but even more importantly, thank you for the great, great work you're doing in the lives of countless young ladies. And, you know, I mean, think about this, Patty. You know, if I said, if I referred to girls and teenagers as young ladies, oh, look, I've been on shows where I would be eviscerated for you are ministering to millions of young ladies, young females, and I commend you, and it's a privilege to visit with you this evening.
Thank you so much for having me, and it is a privilege to minister to girls and their families all across the nation. It really is a privilege.
Well, tell us about your journey. How did you get into the work that you're doing?
Well, you know, it's ironic, right? So often we get into this calling that the Lord has for us without intentionality, meaning this was not a plan I had, but his plan, right? And here I was, a busy mom of four kids, stay-at-home mom. I was a children's pastor, and my husband worked internationally, and I led three Girl Scout troops. That's three, Alex, Girl Scout troops, because my girls were all different ages. I absolutely loved the Girl Scouts. This is back in the 90s. I was able to use it as a ministry, and it was really, really fun and effective, and the girls had a ball. And then in the mid-90s, they made a radical change where no longer were they mandating an oath to God. In the Girl Scout promise, I had been a historian of types studying Julia Gordon Lowe and her intent as a foundress, and I knew this was far from her intent. And so I started to dig and do some of my own discovery, because even though I led three troops, the current volunteers were not really understanding what was going on behind the scenes. And here I had learned that all the way back into the 1970s, Betty Friedan of NOW, she actually was on the board of directors for the Girl Scouts. Gloria Steinem. I mean, the who's who of feminists were the board of the Girl Scouts. And so the direction had dramatically changed. And, you know, you got to kick God to the curb when you're doing a character development program if you're going to, you know, address a, what shall I say? Now we call it a woke agenda. And so that's what happened. And I felt like I was trying to make awareness and change, but there was to no avail. And so we started something new, started with 100 girls in Westchester, Ohio, a suburb of Cincinnati. And now the Lord has blessed it with over 65,000 members this year and over 500,000 through the course of 29 years. What an amazing God we serve.
This is awesome. And God bless you for being so energetic and active in the lives of girls and having the vision to start something like this. And let me say this. I want to talk about this, Patty, a moment. When you got the idea to make a difference, you saw things in Girl Scouts were going the wrong direction. And I think everybody watching the program would agree our culture is going in so many wrong directions. There are a lot of victims, but my heart breaks for young people nowadays. It is very hard, I think, to grow up in the world as it is today. But what did you do? What were the first steps for American Heritage Girls, taking it from an idea and a vision to beginning to put reality in place? And here you are today, nearly 30 years later, but how did you begin to implement the vision?
I think first it's casting the vision, being able to draw people in, volunteers to say, I'll come along for this ride, because it wasn't a popular thing to do. I mean, the Girl Scouts had been enjoying an over century-old tradition, and people's moms were their Girl Scout leaders and their mother's mother, you know, it kept going generationally. So there was a lot of people. I lost almost all of my friends because they were Girl Scout people who thought I was making a, quote, mountain out of a molehill. And I had to really, really double down on my prayer life and ask the Lord for discernment. Am I making this a mountain out of a molehill, or is this something that we really need to be concerned about? And the Lord revealed in his perfect timing, along with my own biological fatherly dad, my spiritual father, they both collided in that Habakkuk moment where I felt like the Lord was calling and my father was affirming that I should start something new. And Alex, I thought it would be something little to get my daughter through the formative years. I never dreamt that it would be like this. And I think God is so gracious in his nature by not allowing us to see the end, or we would freak out.
Right, exactly. You know, you mentioned the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, and he says, write the vision that he may run who reads it. Write the vision, make it plain upon tablets that he may run who reads it. Did you spend a period of time like your initial idea, you prayed about it, God sort of helped you nuance it and shape it? Or how long was the visioning stage?
Really, the visioning stage was only 6 months. Remember, I had mentioned that I had run three Girl Scout troops. I've been doing it for 12 years. My background is in child development and secondary education. So I knew, and I had been a children's pastor. So see, the Lord had been planning this the whole time. And so with that kind of experience, now the thing I didn't know how to do is how to ask for money. I was so ill-equipped. I felt like I couldn't run a business plan. I was a mom. I was an educator. I was not a business or an entrepreneur. And the last thing I wanted to be is a woman in ministry, because all the women I knew in ministry were way better and more pious than myself. And so I felt like I was ill-equipped. And the Lord had to just affirm me. You know, he picked Moses. He picks the weak one. So I guess that's why he picked me.
Well, I'm just curious, did you get any response or any pushback from existing Girl Scouts
or
Girl Scout leaders?
not only the Girl Scout volunteers with whom I was friends and I worked with regularly, but I was even offered a job at the local council to shut me up about all of this. There was so much play, not just on the local level, but on the national level, because this was making some noise, because the Girl Scouts had really, their ties with Planned Parenthood were becoming very overt, which was making them lose membership. They were hemorrhaging members, still are, by the way. The Boy Scouts have taken care of that by pulling the few girls that were still remaining in Girl Scouts to Scouts BSA. And that's a whole nother story, right, Alex, which led us to help start Trail Life USA. I mean, who would have thought? But we are the big sister and had been through it. So that was great. But I think what happened is the slow incremental growth. You see, in 1993, when the idea started, there was not the internet in everyone's home. We were communicating through snail mail and phone calls, and we were paying for our phone calls out of our own monthly budgets. And unfortunate for the mom that ended up with a $400 phone bill, but that's how we built this thing. And it was through momentum, through love of the Lord and love for girls.
Yeah.
Around a kitchen table, literally.
American Heritage Girls and Trail Life USA, and we've interviewed a lot of the principals. In fact, like the week Trail Life USA started, and I was a Boy Scout, I had one of my closest friends in ministry who had been on the board of Philmont Scout Ranch for decades. He resigned when the Boy Scouts, after they spent so much money. Folks, a little bit of backstory, and Patty, you can fill in anything that I leave out. Mm-hmm. But the Boy Scouts had raised money. I donated money. They had a Supreme Court battle to, be able to choose leaders that were, good material male role models that weren't homosexuals, and they were free to really operate as the Christian-based organization that they were. They won their court cases, and then years later did a 180 and turned around. One of my friends who was on the board sent his merit badges back, and he said, with a broken heart, I cut ties with the Boy Scouts because you're not at all the organization that I grew up with and have served. And so when Trail Life was birthed, we interviewed the people that started that. Is there a connection between American Heritage Girls and Trail Life USA?
There's an incredible connection, Alex. From the year 2009 to 2013, we were the official partners with the Boy Scouts of America. We had weeks at Philmont. We enjoyed all their trainings, their facilities, their camps. And all the while, I believe they were learning to see if girls would be interested in joining Boy Scouts. And they used us, I believe, as a prototype. So you can imagine, here we're growing very large American Heritage Girls. We are having Boy Scout ambassadors for every council that we're in. That was how we worked together in churches. And then when they made their decision, I was, of course, part of the national committees. I was at that meeting, et cetera. I knew the chief scout. I knew all those people. I was living in Irving quite a bit. I had two envelopes. I did the proverbial two envelope thing, Alex. And that is, if they make the right decision, if they uphold the Dale case, and that's the case in which you were referring regarding the morally straight, I would give them the envelope. Way to go. We can't wait to continue in doing all the things we're doing and growing well. Number two, if they make the wrong decision, as they said, the wrong side of history, that was their big thing, by the way. But anyway, then we would be leaving. And we had literally a website ready that was ready to just press the on button. As soon as that vote came through, I called my assistant and I said, grab it. It was called Faith-Based Boys. We knew we had prayed and fasted our board, because a lot of people were saying, start American Heritage Boys. And we didn't feel the Lord's calling for this, but rather we were called to resource and help in every way. And to this day, two American Heritage Girl board members, one of which is my husband, is also on the board of Trail Life USA. So we are we're intricately involved. We are separate 501c3s, but yet we work together at the church to provide family ministry for families.
So when you say that you went to Philmont, and by the way, that's like one of the greatest camps in the world, folks. But so they were sort of just, for lack of a better word, using you to see if they could get girls in the Boy Scouts.
In retrospect, I believe that would to be true, Alex. Now, that was not the feeling at all, or we wouldn't have agreed to it, right? It was, let's grow together. And we were doing this all around the umbrella of faith. We were during the Faith-Based Initiative Week, American Heritage Girls was there, and we were training and teaching other Boy Scout leaders how to do that. And meanwhile, the families of AHG were able to enjoy all the pleasures of Philmont. And it was a wonderful time. We did it for 3 years, like I said, 2009 to 2013. It needed a minute to ramp up. But we enjoyed those years. We learned a lot. We created a strategic plan that the COO of the Boy Scouts helped us to develop that still to this day we use those pillars. So I do not regret that. We were unequally yoked. That's my lesson. All right. Even though they say the right things and they still have a duty to God, they really don't. And so we cannot trust these organizations that have been around since eons, you know, to always be true to their mission. Major mission drip. Girl Scouts, I'd already seen it. And I saw it with my own eyes with the Boy Scouts. And it was heartbreaking.
Yeah. For those just tuning in, we're talking with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls. Give your website, if you would, Patty.
Yes, it's AmericanHeritageGirls.org, AmericanHeritageGirls.org.
Mm-hmm. Are there chapters in most of the 50 U.S. states, or are people listening, if there's not a chapter nearby, can they start a chapter? Tell us about that process, if you would.
Yes, absolutely. You can visit that website and go up to the upper right-hand corner. You'll see Find a Troop. Pop your zip code in there. Decide how long you want to drive and you'll find a troop in your area. There's over 1,300 troops, which represent 1,300 churches because we charter with churches. That's over 65,000 members right now. Now, we have something very unique. We allow something called a Trailblazer membership, which allows you to be an American Heritage Girl, even where there's not a troop in your area, or if you are international, serving in the military or the mission field, so that we serve everyone that wants to be part of it. The best experience, as you know, Alex, is in the troop, because there's something about those peers and that sense of belonging. But if you just want to get your feet wet and you want to see what this beautiful ministry is about, you can do it that way, or you can start a troop. And the button right under Find a Troop is Start a Troop. And if your church is interested in ministering to youth and to be a legacy in the community, this is a wonderful way to do that.
Amen. And what are the age groups? What ages are AHG for?
Right. We serve girls ages 5 to 18. Now, you don't have to be 5 or finish at 18 either, by the way. There's a glide path to enter at any point. I met for many people, they've just now heard about American Heritage Girls and their daughter might be 13. They can still earn the prestigious Stars and Stripes Award or any of the other level awards. So, Alex, you know about advancement. Of course, that's what Boy Scouts has. We have that as well. And we have over 350 badge opportunities, leadership, social and emotional health, and that sense of friendship and belonging is so critical for the mental health issues that are confronting today's girls.
Exactly, exactly. Patty, this is so significant. This is so important. And I can't tell you how my heart just rejoices to hear about what you're doing for a lot of reasons. One, I think we've got to be in this for the long pull. Folks, let me just say, our nation faces so many challenges because, you know, at the cultural level, certainly academics and education, certainly in local, state, and national government, there's a battle. Are we going to be a godly nation based on our founding biblical principles, or are we going to be woke, secularist, Marxist? I mean, we are in a struggle for the soul of our nation, and each of us, as individuals, as partners in organizations like Truth and Liberty or American Heritage Girls, your local church, we've got to be in this for the long haul. And Patty, I'm so impressed with you as a visionary. So let's change gears for just a second, and we've got a few minutes left in this first segment. Let's talk about the feminist movement. I'm old enough, I remember in the early 70s, you mentioned those names like Betty Friedan and Gloria Steinem and Bella Abzug and Jane Fonda back then, the militant feminists. There's a lot we can say about that, and we will, but overall, the feminist movement, I believe, has done immeasurable damage to generations of people, especially generations of females. Would you agree?
I would agree with you 100%. If I could say 1,000%, I would. But yes, 100%. There's no lie that did us no favors. As a matter of fact, what it did is provide confusion and this strange sense of I've got to be better than a man. above a man. And who, what, why? I mean, what's the purpose of that? And that has led to confusion. Now, this gender confusion that we're experiencing in the last 5 years, I believe is a branch of all of this. I believe that all of this is not from the Lord. It's from the adversary. And the king of confusion is Satan himself. And so I do believe it's a horrible thing.
Well, and you know, folks, listen very carefully. And I realize what I'm about to say is so just unthinkable. You might have trouble even believing it, folks. But like the feminist movement and really the movement in the 60s of moral relativism. Because look, either there is a God, there is revealed truth, there's the law of God written on every human heart, there is objective moral truth, or humans are an evolutionary accident, there is no ultimate truth, and we just all make up the rules ourselves. I would argue, Patty, the feminist movement and some of their core values that, you know, marriage is just a burden. I spoke at a medical school about 5 years ago, University of Kentucky Medical School at Louisville, and I had some female medical students. They were in med school to become doctors, and they said that, and I know this is a talking point out of feminism, they said marriage is state-sanctioned slavery. And the pro-life movement, they said, is just this bondage to force females to breed human beings. See, all of that idea, let's abolish marriage, let's ignore morality, let's redefine gender, all of those things come about when you reject God and reveal truth. And those were some of the core pillars of the feminist movement, weren't they?
They truly were, and they still are. I would say that all of those, if you look at all those chunks or buckets that you just explained, they're all anti-God. They all release God from even being part of this. They're secular humanists, and much of it comes from the Communist Manifesto, which may sound very conspiratorial, but that is where it comes from. And we must break down the family unit in order to take over society. And who did they want to get to first? It was the kids.
Children.
And that's how they started. And that's why this work is so important. And really, I revere your listeners to consider praying for both Trail Life and AHG, because this is not what Satan wants. And he is going to try to dismantle it as best he can.
Yeah. Let me just say this, that Satan is after our children. And there are a lot of people, Hollywood celebrities, social architects, elected officials, secular persons in academia, that their messaging and their worldview is destructive to our children. They may not even know it. Patty, I think there are a lot of people that are pawns in Satan's hands helping destroy society, and they don't even realize it. You know, but we're in a spiritual battle, aren't we?
Absolutely, we are, and it's even within the church. And that's the most dangerous place, because we sort of get it when it's out there and it's those crazy progressive liberals or whatever. You know, we can put a box around that. But when it's within our own church, and that leads me to the importance of that biblical worldview. And you were talking about that earlier, Alex, when we weren't quite connected. But American Heritage Girls knows that is the antidote to these mental health issues, to all the crises,
Patty,
that are really...
Hey, forgive me. We've got a break. We've got a break. So hang on, folks. We're going to be back in just a moment.
At Truth and Liberty Coalition, we work to unify, educate, and mobilize the body of Christ to change nations. That's why I want to encourage you to go to our website at truthandliberty.net and subscribe so that you can begin receiving regular updates about our show, news items, action alerts, blog posts, and much, much more. All you have to do is go to the website, click subscribe, share your email address, and you'll begin to be equipped to stand for truth in the public square.
You were created with a purpose, written in the heart of God. Long before you were born, He is calling you to find it. We want to help you experience His unconditional love, to be equipped and empowered to become a world changer.
Hey, you know, a big part of what we do here at Truth and Liberty is to provide you with the resources that you need in order to stand for truth in the public square. So I want to remind everybody to go to our website and check out our resources page at truthandliberty.net/resources, where you can find material that discusses just about every issue we're facing today in our culture. And these are things that are prepared by our strategic partners and some of the most influential and important organizations in America today.
Welcome back to Truth and Liberty. Alex McFarland here. We're going to go to calls in a few moments. If you want to call, get in the queue. We have lines open at 719-619-2341. Hey, and by the way, if you need spiritual help tonight, Patty Garibay and I were talking about spiritual things, talking about a relationship with Christ. And maybe you want to talk with somebody and pray with somebody. Maybe you've got a burden and you just need a listening ear. Here is a number. 719-635-1111. There are prayer ministers, encouragers that will speak with you. And listen, no strings attached. We just want to help you and encourage you. Maybe you need to come to Christ. Maybe you need to come back to Jesus Christ. Or maybe like ourselves, you're just praying for America. You're just concerned for the future of our country. I am. And so if you need spiritual help, the number 719-635-1111. By the way, folks, the website truthandliberty.net, you can get the email updates. Richard Harris, attorney, pastor Richard Harris, he's the leader of Truth and Liberty. If you would go to truthandliberty.net/subscribe. I've submitted some articles in recent days that are going to get put on the website. Maybe they already are. I was very blessed. I wrote an Easter article that Fox News is running later this week, and it will also be on the Truth and Liberty website. And of course, the work of Andrew Womack and the different contributors. So tell your friends about Truth and Liberty. Look, this is for God and country, and it takes every single one of us. And so we're challenging you, don't just be a spectator, be a participant. God will use you. And when I think about one of my favorite Bible verses, which is 1 Corinthians 15:58, that says that we are to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. See, your prayers, your voice, your financial contributions, you being a witness and an influence, it really matters. And Patty Garibay, I think about that verse that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's got to be pretty gratifying. I know there's hard work, sacrifice. Only the Lord knows all that it's taken for you to build American Heritage Girls. But it counts for eternity, doesn't it?
It really does. And to be in the center of His will and doing what you believe your life's vocation is, it's pretty sweet. It's pretty rewarding. It's not easy, but you know what? Anything worthwhile is not easy.
Yeah, exactly. So let me get your response to something that was in the news today. Now, folks, I got to set this up. In 1972, there were laws that were put on the books, good laws, basically. They were called Title IX or the Clery Act. Now, Patty, I was president of a small college in North Carolina, and then I've taught at Liberty University and elsewhere, Karis Bible College. The Title IX training, and we would do it every year. I had my faculty when I was a school president. Every year we would go through Title IX training. And then when I was on the faculty at a couple of different Christian universities around America, we would all go, and very often we would have someone from the government do the Title IX training. And basically, when you think about it, it's laws against sexual harassment, which is entirely appropriate. Sexual harassment is wrong and is illegal, and rightly so. But I was just reading, Patty, today, that the bottom line with the progressive woke leftist agenda, the LGBTQ lobby, the Biden White House this week has put out some changes they want to the 1972 legislation of Title IX that basically erases the objective recognition of male or female. And the wording, if it's implemented, I don't know if it will be, but if it's enforced, the new revised Title IX wording says that you have to acknowledge gender identification. The bottom line, it could be a felony if I assume that you're a female and I address you as a female. You could come back and say, oh, how dare you say that I'm a female? I identify something else. And it's not only wrong, frankly, folks, I think it's ludicrous that mm-hmm. I'm supposed to know your gender identification, whether you say it or not, and it could be a felony. To misgender somebody would be on the same plane of sexual harassment or rape. And the bottom line, and here's where I want your response, Patty, the feminist movement, which, you know, paved the way for the gay rights movement, which has now paved the way for the LGBTQ trans movement, what originally was a movement for women has just about erased the ability for somebody to acknowledge that women exist. I mean, it's cannibalized itself. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
It truly has, Alex. And it's not just Title IX, but it's Title X too. Where are the feminists in all this? You know, where is that, you know, break the glass ceiling, and we are all that, and then, in a bag of chips or whatever.
Yeah.
But I believe, you know, I truly believe that there's a vector of truth. You know, you've got that point where you're sort of close, but it's not so bad. And then as you move more and more out, you know, you become further and further away from the truth. And that's really how this happened. So the ideals of the feminist movement may have had some merit, okay? They went too far. They kept pushing. And now we've got this weird paradigm shift of you can't even, how are we supposed to know? And the other thing is, Alex, I always thought, you know, we're products of the 70s, I'd say. First of all, we were trying to get rid of labels and stereotypes. Now we're all into labels and stereotypes. And if you don't even know my label, then I'm going to cancel you. This is absurd. Yeah. It is ludicrous.
Well, one of the things I've done in teaching political science, I mean, I've studied in depth political trends of like the last 125 to 150 years. And I think about the civil rights movement under Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., great. I applaud the civil rights movement. I'm thankful that Republican legislators helped the civil rights legislation be enacted. And let me say this, Patty. I grew up in the Jim Crow Democrat South. And, I grew up in a culture that I'm very sorry to say was very racist in quarters, but it was not among Christians and conservatives and constitutionalists. But here's my point. Dr. King, he said that he looked for the day that children and people would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And now here we are, as you so well said, everything is racial. Everything is about labels. Everything is about identification. And folks, I'm just going to say it. What has caused us to digress into this culture at war with everything? Any direction you look, you're at risk of being, offending somebody and being litigated against. What caused the static that we're in every day is that we abandoned a biblical worldview, a biblical foundation. And the sooner that we find our way back to the solid rock of God's revealed truth and the Judeo-Christian moral foundation, the sooner our nation can be saved. That's the only hope, is a return to God and moral truth. Would you agree?
Amen and amen. Absolutely. Pascal, I believe, is the one that said, there's a God-sized hole in every man's heart, and it couldn't be more true. And we're finding that in today's youth, they don't know boundaries. They don't know right and wrong because their parents don't have it. So we've got this dilemma, and you know the Barner research and what it says. It says what? Yeah. Out of 100 Christians, there might be 6 that actually have a biblical worldview. And if your listeners aren't sure if they have one or not, they should go to summit.org or another place to do a test. Check it out, because the likelihood is great. And if you don't have it, your daughter's not going to have it, and her daughter's not going to have it. This is important stuff. This is intentional parenting, and we are called to intentional parenting.
So tell us about the American Heritage Girls, the meeting. Does a troop meet weekly or monthly or throughout the year, part of the year, what?
It's really throughout the year. Sometimes they'll take a few weeks off for the summer, but then there's camp because we love to be outdoors too. So it's typically either a weekly or biweekly troop meeting. It's up to the charter. It's their ministry. They get to call the shots with that. And the girls meet for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. They typically will work on, first of all, open with devotionals and a flag ceremony, because we are patriotic and we do love our country. And we know it's not perfect, but we know that it has been inspired by the Lord, and the founding fathers definitely brought the Bible into all things, especially our beautiful Constitution. And then we go into having activities that are age appropriate. So here's the cool part. Now, Alex, remember, I said I led 3 troops. Do you think I really wanted to? No. My girls were all 3 different ages. Here in American Heritage Girls, when I was able to write the curriculum, I was able to write it from 5 to 18. So all the sisters in one family go to one night, and they have their family night of American Heritage Girls. They earn badges. They earn service stars. We know that girls are yearning to make a difference and to use their influence wisely, and they can do that through performing acts of service. Matter of fact, on our birthday, instead of receiving gifts, we give gifts of service to our community. Over 500,000 hours were given just last year by the girls. And in addition to that, the girls are learning more about vocations. Notice I don't say career, I say vocations, because I believe it's a vocal calling from the Lord and that we need to seek His will first, not just listen to what our teachers say we're good at in determining our future. So there's so much stuff. It's really creating a framework for adulting, Christ-centered adulting for each and every girl. And I think that's really what every parent would like to have a little bit of help with.
Sure. The meetings, do the older girls lead the meetings, or do adults lead the meetings?
The older girls start the meetings, and they begin the meetings with announcements and a fun activity, things like that. And then we break into what I call age-appropriate units, so that they can do their detailed badge work or whatever that's appropriate to their level. The highest level girls, they're called patriots. I know you'd like that, Alex. They're called patriots. And they know that skill so well that they can teach it to another. And I got that idea from Julia Gordon Lowe, the foundress of the Girl Scouts. What she said is a badge should not be a patch just sewn on your sleeve. It should be something that you know so well that you could teach another.
Right. Wonderful. Wonderful. So let me ask you this. From when you started, like 29 years ago, till the present moment, have you seen the state of mental and emotional health change among young girls? How are the girls today perhaps different than when you began?
You know, it's dramatic. And that's a soft word to use. It's dramatic. When I started American Heritage Girls, girls were having issues with their personal identity, wondering who they were. They still didn't understand that they were made in the image of Christ. The biggest thing was cutting, bulimia, anorexia, these types of issues. And they still exist. Don't get me wrong. But now we've added on to it anxiety, perfectionism, loneliness, a lack of sense of belonging, a lack of feeling out of control, a lack of understanding what biblical femininity is, and that it's cool to be feminine and to be a woman. And to be feminine doesn't mean you like to go shopping and eat cupcakes, all right? It can mean that you like to ride horses or maybe fix cars. We are not labeling these kids and putting them in boxes, because God does not put us in boxes. So yes, they are learning all of these different things now that we never would have addressed all these issues that we're doing in these free ebooks for your listeners. Things like, you know, gender and identity confusion, or how to have peace in times of war and conflict, or what's a biblical worldview. We didn't need it back then, but boy, do we need it now.
Yeah, exactly. We've got an online question that's come in. Patty, how can parents and guardians best address girls' mental health?
You know, I think I just really want to pitch these free eBooks that we put together in 2020 when it was COVID. You know, you can imagine the churches weren't meeting, so neither were our troops. And we had a full staff we didn't want to let go. So we felt the calling to start a sub-brand called Raising Godly Girls, which has now evoked it's transformed itself into a radio minute, as well as a podcast and free eBooks. I would really encourage you to download these free eBooks because they are, first of all, they're beautiful and they're workbook type things that you can go through with your daughter to talk about these emotionally complex issues that most parents will say, I don't even know where to start. And here's a place to start. You can be affirmed and assured that scripture will be throughout it because that we know is our antidote. But also even in the gender and identity one, we have a lot of definitions that a lot of parents have no clue what these things mean because they're so off the wall. But yet, if you don't know that and your daughter comes to you as a trusted adult and you don't know what they're talking about and you sort of freak out, guess what? You've just broken trust and they may not come back to you. You need to be informed and you need to be proactive. So I suggest that we start with many of these books and issues, even the talk about pro-life, American Heritage Girls, by the way, is unabashedly pro-life, contrary to our competitor. And we talk about that stuff from A to Z, and it's age appropriate, but it has to be talked because it's a fiber of a girl. It's her very being and essence. And so we can't wait because it'll be too late if you wait.
Let me ask you this, and this could be a whole nother show, and perhaps you and I will do a program on this. The impact, not just of the internet, but of mobile devices and TikTok and all of the online content, because as we all know, I mean, my goodness, the internet has everything from godly content to things that are unspeakably evil. What has, in your opinion, been the impact, just the unrelenting, incessant intrusion of mobile devices into the lives of all ages? Speak to that, if you would, Patty.
Absolutely. It goes, I like that you talked about mobile devices versus just social media, because it truly goes beyond social media per se. It's the screen time. And what I find interesting, Dr. Tim Elmore, I have a lot of respect for his research for and growing leaders in his ministry. And he talks about the issues that are confronting today's girls, and he boils them down to six. But one of the key ones, he says, connections are up and community is down. So,
Say that again.
Connections are up. This is for today's youth. Connections are up. Community is down. And what that means is they're looking at connections and how many friends or likes they have on their social media accounts. And they consider these are their trusted friends, but yet they're lonelier than ever. And this is a fact. I mean, this is from secular studies. The CDC has even put this in. One in three adolescent girls suffer from a defined anxiety disorder. This isn't just the ones that are sort of feeling a little lonely. They are saying, I need help. I'm in desperate. I'm having suicidal ideation. So that is important to know. And so social media it's a fake lie. It's a counterfeit. All right. It can be used for God's glory. And we often use it for that. But in most cases, it's more noise, more confusion, and creates more loneliness for girls. So my recommendation is to highly monitor it. I wouldn't even have, until you're a senior in high school ready to go to college, even be on social media accounts, honestly. That would be my preference. Now, I was blessed to raise kids without all this garbage, but I did monitor gaming and YouTube and all those things that were out at that time. Because you know what? At the end of the day, we're responsible. Again, we have to be proactive parents. And I'll tell you what, my mother always read my diary, and I guarantee you, I read my daughter's. Okay, so that is our right and our privilege, and we need to be doing that. So don't let privacy or all that. But your daughter is not your friend. She's your daughter. Come on, people. Let's get with it.
Amen. 1,000 times. Amen. Speak to the parents, even grandparents, the adults listening about why they should ration screen time, monitor screen time, and how can they begin? Because look, even in Christian families, Patty, I'm on the road like every weekend. I'm in churches. Look, I'll be speaking to elementary schoolers in church Sunday school, and 99% are walking in with a cell phone. And I know even in Christian families, screen time is just unlimited usually. Why should parents monitor and even set boundaries around screen time? And how do they do that?
Right. Well, here's the big question. Who is discipling your kids? That's the question I have for your listeners. And here are the facts. There are 168 hours in anyone's week. Nobody gets more, nobody gets less. A typical girl, age 13, will be on media for 49 hours of that week. She'll be at school for 35 hours. She will be with her family for 20 hours. And she will be at church 3 hours. And that's sort of generous, Alex. That's if you do Wednesday night services.
Oh, wow.
So let me just say,
49 hours a week of screen time.
Yep, that's the average 13-year-old girl.
And 3 hours at church. So 30 times more screen time than church time.
It's insane.
I know. And let me just say this, and again, a whole nother subject. With my developmental psych background, and I've spent all these years researching and writing, it's affecting how our brains work. And things like assimilation and recall, things like this. I would say one of the messages, and you tell me if you agree with this, Patty, as a Christian, I mean, two things that really drive our home and marriage, Angie and I, it's stewardship and gratitude. As a Christian, we're not owners, we're stewards. God entrusts us with life, with abilities, resources. So every Christian, we've got to remember we are stewards. Then there's gratitude. I mean, we're grateful to the Lord Jesus. He saved us. He's given us a purpose in life. Monitoring screen time and not living my life in this vegetative state in front of a device, it's a stewardship issue, isn't it?
It really is. I love how you said that, because stewardship, our lives are on loan and our kids' lives are on loan. They're owned by the Lord. He has given us the privilege to disciple them, to bring them into eternity. We're letting social media disciple our kids. What are we thinking? We're being lazy. And that is a big, big sin. You know, that we're back to that Dr. Tim Elmore, and we're talking about some of the cool things that he says about these crippling realities we have to deal with for kids. He says exposure is up and experience is down. Now think about it. You've got all this social media and you're exposed to all this stuff, good, bad, ugly. And then you're not really experiencing it or understanding it or living it. You're just taking it all in. And guess what that does? It leads to a frustration, and it does work in your mind. The neural paths are being affected by that. It's horribly crippling to kids. And guess what happens? Anxiety goes up because they feel, I know all this information. I'm not doing anything about it. So, you know, and I hear time and time again, girls coming up to me and say, Miss Patty, how can I be more courageous and resilient? That's why we wrote the resilience book just most recently this week, because they want to know, they know that they're crippled by it. They know that they've got a lot of info, but no experience. And, you know, gosh, forbid that you ever go out to your grandparent and ask them how things are done. Let's just Google it. You know, so this not only is experience down, but knowledge from first source parties is down too. So it's a mess for them, and we need to care about it.
Does this name ring a bell, Patty? Trace Embry, who has a radio show called Licensed to Parent?
Absolutely. I've been on his show. Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's great. I've known Trace and Rich Rozell, one of his producers. We've been colleagues for 18, 19 years, I guess. And Trace Embry, I highly recommend him. And they run an orphanage in Georgia and a substance abuse, very successful, helping people get out of drugs and substance abuse. But Trace, more than 10 years ago, he was one of the first voices I heard about the warnings about what social media is doing to our kids. And he was really prophetic, and you are as well. For those just tuning in, we're talking with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls. I highly recommend every patriot, every Christian, every church, every leader to investigate and get on board with this incredible movement. Patty, I guess you're in this long enough. By now, you've probably got adult leaders serving that were your childhood constituents years back. Is that probably true?
It's very true. I'm so glad you mentioned that. As a matter of fact, the original troop of girls, the girls that I had that I brought over from Girl Scouts to do something that they never heard of, but they trusted the leadership. Four of them now are girls, are American Heritage Girl leaders with their daughters in their troops. And, you know, they come to me and they'll see me at a convention or something like that. And they said, Patty, we're so happy that you've kept true to everything that you originally started. That our mission drift, I mean, if we have mission drift, like the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and like the YMCA, and I can go on forever, a litany. If we have that, we don't deserve to exist. We are defined and refined by the blood of Christ. And that is where Christ is the center of all that we do. Our churches, who are our charter partners, they are our voting members, Alex. So there's not going to be, you know, Betty Friedan or... what was the guy from that really affected the board? I think he was from AT&T, Randall Stephenson on the Boy Scout board. Those really heavy hitters with big pockets, they're not going to be affecting American Heritage Girls, because it's our churches that we vetted that have said, this is what we believe. And we do have a statement of faith for all of our adult leaders and our churches. And we are open to the girls that will agree to love God, cherish their family, honor their country, and serve in their community.
Say that again. That is a beautiful paragraph. Say those words again, would you?
It's our oath. So, you know, the girls hold up the four fingers that represent, and for the littles, it helps them, right? So I promise, as an American Heritage Girl, I promise to love God, cherish my family, honor my country, and serve in my community.
Wow. And, you know, folks,
love,
those
cherish,
are
like... honor, and serve.
Those are ideals that it would be good for each and every one of us to aspire to. We've got a break coming up, and we've got some more questions that have come in, and we will take phone calls, 719-619-2341. What's next on the calendar? Are there regional and national gatherings of the American Heritage Girls?
There's going to be our big 30th anniversary celebration. And we're going to have it in three different locations across the nation. Probably the premier one will be in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is where we were founded. And it'll be very cool to have the original kitchen table there and a lot of those original members.
Oh, wow. That's great. And you'll be there. You'll be speaking, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And when is the 30th anniversary?
It'll be in July of 2025. So we're busily working it right now, and it'll be great for girls and their parents to come and enjoy and celebrate God's blessing on 30 years of ministry.
Amen. Amen. Well, we got to take a brief break. Patty Garibay is going to stay with us of American Heritage Girls. This is Alex McFarland, Truth and Liberty. By the way, the gospel is free, everybody. The gospel is free, but it does take resources to deliver the gospel. And I pray that you would consider supporting Truth and Liberty. You can go to truthandliberty.net/donate, become a monthly partner, and help us spread the message of new life in Christ, but of also being salt and light and making a difference in our country. Stay tuned. We're back after this.
I'd like to invite you to join me either as an attendee or as a sponsor of our Truth and Liberty Awards Banquet in 24. We started this last year, and this year the winner of our Samuel Adams Award is Pat Bradley with Crisis Aid International. I tell you, he is one amazing person. And then Coach Joe Kennedy gets the Samuel Whitmore Award, and I tell you, that's going to be great. And our guest speaker is Riley Gaines, the lady that has been standing up for, you know, getting men out of women's sports. It's going to be a great time. It's May the 3rd. It'll be at our Caris Bible College, and we do have sponsorships. This is a fundraiser as well as an award banquet. So if you would go to our website at truthandliberty.net, you can get all the information and join us on May the 3rd for our Truth and Liberty Awards Banquet.
With Practical Government, you have experts in the fields that are sharing their perspective, wisdom, and experience. It's not available anywhere else in the world.
We're going to teach a Christian heritage of our American government. They're going to learn about the Founding Fathers. We're teaching the Constitution, how government operates, practical skills, and field study.
No matter where you're coming from, the world needs you.
Whatever God's calling you to do, you're able to do it.
To learn more, visit practicalgovernmentschool.com.
Welcome back to Truth and Liberty. Alex McFarland, I hope that you're having a great day. Hey, by the way, let me tell you something before we continue with Patty Garibay and American Heritage Girls. April 3, 4, and 5 at Karis Bible College Campus Days. People are coming from across the country and internationally to visit just an unbelievably state-of-the-art, beautiful campus. It's called Karis. And if you've never been to Karis, I encourage you to check it out. I'll be there next week. In fact, I value everyone's prayers. Tomorrow morning, I fly to Madison, Wisconsin to speak at a major homeschooling convention, and I'll be in front of young people teaching biblical worldview. And then I go to Karis because I'll be teaching apologetics, biblical worldview next week. But Karis Campus Days, check out the website, Karis Bible College. There, first of all, the first 2 years, Bible and understanding who you are as a Christian and what it means to be a disciple. But in the third year program, which is really your major or your concentration, there's obviously missions and ministry. There's the School of Practical Government, where that was how I first got involved in teaching at Karis, which is really political science and how you can understand our constitutional Judeo-Christian representative republic, how you can make a difference locally, statewide, nationally. The School of Practical Government, we call it PGS, Practical Government School. There's a business track, and there are some of the greatest business leaders in America that come and teach about economics and business and leadership. There's an incredible drama department, and they do unbelievable. I say this, folks, but it's no exaggeration. Broadway wishes they could do productions as beautiful, as impressive, as excellent as the drama department at Karis under Elizabeth Murin in the state-of-the-art auditorium. There's music, there's web and IT, there are concentrations. And let me just say this, whether it's just for personal growth or whether it's preparation for a lifetime of ministry, changing our nation, changing our world, I sincerely believe that at Karis Bible College, you will discover things about God's call on your life that you just otherwise wouldn't have known. So check out the Campus Days, check out the website. There are hundreds and hundreds of hours of teaching and resources. You can go to awmi.net/events, as in Andrew Womack Ministries, awmi.net/events, or Karis Bible College, the website. We're in it to win it, to change the world, and I believe God has a role for you to be a part of it as well. Well, being used by God to change the world in a great way, we had never met prior to this interview, but I really feel such an affirmation for all that God is doing through the life of Patty Garibay and American Heritage Girls. Because, Patty, I want to give a quote, and I'd like for you to respond. This is a quote attributed to George Washington, our first president, leader of the Continental Army, and the general that helped us win the American Revolution so many years ago. But George Washington said, quote, "The future of our country depends on the Christian training of young people. The future of our country depends on the Christian training of young people." Patty, I think that's true. And I think we've seen the result of decades of secular training of young people. Our nation, it can be saved, but the way back has got to begin like today. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. You know, people talk about the public schools today and saying that they're failing. No, they're succeeding in exactly what they were created to do. Yeah. If you study John Dewey or any of the principles of public education, it was to create a socialist type of education that is it's secularized. It's all about secular humanism. They're being very successful in that. And now they're implanting the confusion and the labels and the pronouns and all the rest, the DEI, et cetera. So they are succeeding. We must counter. And I'll tell you, if you aren't able or you don't feel like you're able, this is always a choice in our life, right? Either we do homeschooling or Christian schooling or public schooling, there are issues like that. Make sure that you're at least putting your daughter into something even beyond church. Because remember, we talked about 3 hours a week is all that your daughter is getting from church. If that is what you're relying on to save your daughter's soul, look again, you need to disciple her well. And that is including things like American Heritage Girls, your son in Trail Life USA. It helps them to have that experience and not just exposure that Dr. Tim Elmore alludes to, where they're actually living life for Christ. They're amongst peers that also align with them, much like her and Aaron lifted up Moses's arms during the battle with the Amalekites. We need that, and girls need that today. So they need a band of sisters, so to speak, to be able to do life with. And I highly encourage them to check out American Heritage Girls at AmericanHeritageGirls.org.
Sure. Amen. Now, you've written a book, Why Curse the Darkness When You Can Light a Candle? I like that title. Tell us about your book.
Yeah, well, this book was something I never wanted to write. And so often people write books they don't want to write, but God says, write it. And he impressed Psalm 78:6 on my heart that write this down so the next generation would know. And I really articulate the fight with the Girl Scouts in that and what I went through personally. My childhood, which was extremely dysfunctional, raised by an alcoholic mom and a chronically ill father who I never knew to walk. But yet it was my father's quote that encouraged me. He said, after he heard all the travails I was going through with the Girl Scouts and the way they were treating myself and my husband, it's pretty amazing what they did. But my father, laying in a hospital bed, says, Patty, why curse the darkness when you can start something new? Do it. And he had enough belief in me. And like I had mentioned earlier in the show, that the Lord also was at the same time simultaneously affirming me in this. And I think I had every excuse not to, Alex. You see, how could I speak about purity and biblical worldview when I was a teen and I was in college and I got pregnant? And my husband and I married and it all worked out, but it was still a sin and I didn't know the Lord. How could I speak out on these things when I could be the biggest hypocrite? Isn't that what Satan wants us to believe of ourselves?
Yeah.
That we're not a new work? That we are unable to speak on his behalf? Well, he's not going to win on this one. And so that's what this book is about, is how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the hard things and write down the hard stories, because we are called in Psalm 78:6 to write it down so the next generations will know.
Amen. You know, I appreciate you sharing that and being so courageous, because Satan is, you know, he condemns us. Satan is the father of lies. I want to say to everybody watching, look, the Bible says in Joel 2:25, God restores the years the locust has eaten. I grew up on a farm, and I know what it is when insects or droughts or deer ruin your crops. I mean, you're just, it's over, right? But God, that this agricultural analogy is so appropriate. God can restore the wasted years of your life. Folks, if you're a Christian, what you've done has been forgiven in Jesus. What's been done to you can be healed in Jesus. And, you know, Patty, I appreciate your honesty here. I think about the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul had persecuted the church, ordered the execution of Stephen, the first martyr. And Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul didn't say, oh, you know, God couldn't use me. I was a blasphemer, a murderer. And on the other hand, Paul wasn't arrogant. He didn't say, oh, I've written half the New Testament. He said, I am who I am. I am what I am in Jesus by the grace of God. Now, speak to this, if you would, Patty. Our identity must be in Jesus, who has made us a new creature. You understood that, and you boldly are living out God's call on your life. Speak to the person, if you would, Patty, who says, well, you know, God couldn't use me. I did too many bad things. I've wasted too many years. You know, speak to somebody who needs to stop listening to the condemnation and start seeing themselves as Jesus, the Redeemer, sees us.
You know, our Lord is Jehovah Jireh. He's the great provider, and he provides grace and mercy for all the things that we may have done wrong in the past. And you know what else he provides? Is the most wonderful testimony and approachability. Because when you divulge to another believer or baby believer that you've been through some stuff and that he's brought you to the other side, you now become that trusted friend. And that I can relate to this. Tell me how you went through this. And then we can be a testimony to his glory. And this book was not about me. It was about the glory of God and how he has redeemed myself and redeems all of us. I even write about the table that he has set for you to come and join me at the banquet, because that's what the Lord wants of us. Don't use your past. Don't give Satan any credence, because that's what that is. Guilt, shame, none of that's from the Lord. Fear, yucky, all that's from the Lord. The Lord is, or not from the Lord, it is from Satan himself. The Lord is full of grace and mercy and beauty and new days and new life and refreshing waters and his living word.
Amen. Amen. Where can people find your book?
You can go to whycursethedarkness.com if you'd like an autographed copy and a little note. Or you can just go to Amazon or wherever you get your books. It's all over the place. But I think you'll like it. It's a quick read. It's very empowering. And I'll tell you, women are passing it on to other women. And they found it encouraging, even though I think it's not the best book. But I guess they really are blessed by it because the Holy Spirit inspired it.
Amen. Amen. Well, and you know, Augustine, one of my favorite figures in church history, he 1600 years ago, brilliant folks. Brilliant. If you want to get into one of the great thinkers in Christendom, Augustine. There was a book written by Norm Geisler, What Augustine Says. And he lived 354 to 430. But, you know, here's this brilliant thinker in the early church, but apparently before his conversion had been quite a party boy, right? So Augustine is going down the street one day, and he passes a brothel that he used to go to. And apparently in the doorway was a prostitute who knew Augustine and said, "Augustine, Augustine." And he kept on walking by. She said, "Augustine, it is I." He said, "Yes, but it is no longer I." Because we're different in Christ. Patty, speak to this. We really are made new, aren't we?
We truly are. I cannot believe the Lord has done this for us. I mean, we just celebrated Holy Week and Easter. And you Amen. Think about that sacrifice on Good Friday. For the longest time, I believed in Christ, but I didn't know a relationship and I didn't know the Bible for sure. So I was a faith tradition that, you know, that was not taught. But here's the deal. I thought, how could they ever call it Good Friday? Because I thought it was the worst day in Christendom because the Lord died. And I didn't realize that the Resurrection Sunday changed everything because I didn't know the Holy Word of God. But here's the thing. We've got to remember what Jesus did, not only on the cross for us, but what he did for the thief next to him. And that instantaneous, when he said he believed that you are the, he said, "You, I will then see you in eternity." That's what our Lord does. He doesn't Amen. Say, if you do this many works and you attend church as many, he says, if you believe, and you're going to want to do all those things because you love him. But it's not about the works. It's about saying yes to the Lord, getting out of that boat and keeping your eyes on him so you can walk on water and do great things in his name. That's what it's all about.
You know, Patty, I remember years ago I was reading in Mark 16, the resurrection account. Now, folks, listen to this. Part of the reason I'm bringing this out is because I just feel there might be somebody watching and you're just, you believe in Jesus, but you're thinking about all this past baggage and stuff I did. Listen to this. When the women went to the empty tomb on that first Easter morning, and I don't know where all the guys were, but the women went to the tomb, and the stone is rolled away. There's an angel there, and the angel says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He has risen, as he said. Go tell his disciples and Peter." Now, the last time we saw Peter, he was cursing and denying the Lord. And Patty, it almost made me tear up. The angel, on instruction from God, said, hey, you go get Peter. He still matters. I'm not done with Peter. Yes. And of course, just weeks later, Peter would inaugurate the church by preaching at Pentecost. But Patty, when the angel said, go tell the disciples Christ is risen and Peter, we serve the God of the second chance, don't we? We serve the God of the 100th chance.
Amen. And you know, it's not always the 99, it's the one. And he will pursue you and pursue me. He did that to me and he will do that for you. A willing heart, a humility to say yes. We've got to get rid of pride. We've got to not allow our past to define our present and certainly not our future. And this is why I'm so committed. My fire in my belly, I have a podcast and I always start with that question. What is the fire in your belly for doing what you're doing? And it always comes back to this, knowing the joy-filled love letter, which is the Bible, as a young child is so important to a joy-filled life. And so if you didn't have it as a kid like I didn't, have it now. It's a gift. Embrace it. Read it. Spend time in it. Pray. Worship. Be with other believers. These are all ways that we can grow in the Lord.
Hey, I want to tell you a little story. I want your response. And folks, I am so excited about hearing what God is doing through Patty Garibay and American Heritage Girls. American Heritage Girls. If there isn't a chapter in your area, start one. If your church is not on board, help your church get on board. I got a story I want to run by you, but first, everybody write this down. Familiarize yourself. Tell your friends, American Heritage Girls. Patty, what is the website?
AmericanHeritageGirls.org.
Amen. Just go check it out. It will inspire you. Pray for what they're doing. Patty, we do conferences all around the country on apologetics. That's the evidence for the Christian faith and biblical worldview. And let me just say, folks, in the 49 citywide conferences we've done over 20 years, I don't know, 250,000 people have been to our conferences, and young people, elementary, middle school, high school, they love this stuff. The evidence for God, the evidence for creation and the flood, the evidence for Jesus, the evidence for the Bible. Kids love it. We've got summer camps. Go to the website, equipretreat.org. But anyway, listen to this, Patty. We 3 years ago, we were in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, First Baptist Church. We had partnered with them. We had half a dozen speakers. We had attendees from about 25 states. It was great. So the last day of the conference, we were wrapping up. We had a couple of great speakers. We had a nationally known journalist named Sandy Rios. And then we had an altar call. Do you know Sandy?
Yes, a lovely, lovely woman. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A compelling speaker. So we explain about knowing the Lord, and we have an altar call. That's when we call on people to make a public stand for Christ. Well, there was a young lady there, and the praise band is singing, and hundreds of people were coming forward. And my wife and I prayed with this girl. Her name was Jasmine. She wouldn't mind me telling this. And she was probably 20, a college student, just a beautiful young lady. And we sat down and I'm explaining the gospel and she was wanting to receive Christ. Now listen to this, Patty. I think it was the Holy Spirit that led me to say what I said. And I said, Patty, pray this, you know, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I said, Lord, thank you for loving me. And she kind of stammered and she said it, but in my spirit, I could tell she had trouble saying, God, thank you for loving me. And here's where things got serious. I said, pray that God, thank you for creating me. And thank you that I have value. And she looked at me, the altar call is going on. And she looked at me and my wife and she said, I don't have any value. I have no value. And I said, no, Jasmine, as a human being. You have infinite value. God loves you. You are valuable to God. And she began to cry, Patty. And I don't mean tear. I mean, she began to sob. This young lady was crying so hard, like her sweater and her lap was wet with tears. And she said, no, I don't have any value. Now, long story short, she prayed and accepted Christ. And we began to talk with her. And I got some of the trained people there to counsel with her. And about a year later, and she had been a cutter, and her arms were just very, at that point when she first came forward, very, very cut, and it was hard to even see. About a year later, I was at an event, and she came up, and she just radiated, and she said, do you remember me? It's Jasmine. I said, yes, I remember you. And I said, how's your walk with the Lord? She said, awesome. She said, every day with Jesus. And she pulled up her sleeve. She said, look, no cuts. Now, here's the thing, folks. There are millions of young people, and they don't think they have value, but they do in Jesus. And what she said about the cutting, and I know you've seen this too, she said, the pain here helps me forget the pain in here.
Yes.
You're doing it. Patty, speak to this generation and why we have to do what we can do to reach out to them with the love and the truth of Jesus.
You know, I have a similar story, Alex. I'll briefly say it. And this gal's name was Alicia, and I go to these Meet the Founder events, and I noticed this girl, very tall, whole black hair, gauge earrings, black nails, you get the picture. She kept letting younger girls, she was in her American Heritage Girl uniform, she kept letting them come up, and I realized she wants to speak to me privately. And I would always ask the girls, what do you like about AHG? Well, Alicia, when I met her, I said, what do you like about AHG? She said, well, it saved my life. Now, I had never heard this before, Alex, all the years I've been doing American Heritage. Tell me more, I say. She says, you see, my parents were divorced and they got divorced. I blame myself. So many girls do that. I blame myself. I thought I had no use. I was part of the problem, not part of the solution. She said, and then a friend invited me to American Heritage Girls. And she said, I started to set goals for myself by achieving badges and level awards. And then I started to do community service and found out that I loved helping the homeless at the food pantry. And she said, and then I started to realize that I can have influence and impact and that I did have worth. She says, American Heritage Girls saved my life. Now, that's just a great story of how you can impact girls and how you can impact lives. And what you did, Alex, by praying with this young lady, we'll never know the side of heaven. I mean, I've been blessed to see many fruits from my labor. I don't deserve it, but I see it. But yet we need to invest in today's, our world. The kingdom is counting on it. We are called to do this. This investment is worthwhile. It is way better than stocks or bonds. It is people, and it is what the Lord calls us to do.
Amen. Amen. That is so wonderful. Well, I want to say with everything that I can convey, Patty, how much I respect you and how much I applaud and appreciate what you're doing, because God is using it. And I know there's the salvation of individuals and young girls building their life on Christ. But I'm begging God to help save our nation. And I truly believe God has raised you up and American Heritage Girls to help redeem our country. I believe in what God is doing through you.
You know, John Quincy Adams had made a quote way back in his day that said, the manners and demeanor of women are the most infallible barometer of the morality of a nation. And when you look at what's going on with women,
say that again, please.
He said, the manners and demeanor of women are the most infallible indicator of a moral barometer in our nation, meaning women have influence. You spoke about, where were the guys during the resurrection? Notice that the Bible clearly had women coming because Jesus trusted the women to share the message. The guys were afraid. That's what was going on, Alex. They were afraid. So I implore biblical femininity to come back to this country and for women to understand their role does not have to be above a man's, but it is uniquely woven for them. And it is a beautiful place to be. It's one of great influence, and we can make an impact for the country. We love our men. We need our men. We are both intricately designed just for the same, the bright purpose. Let's be different and enjoy that and celebrate it.
Amen. Let me ask you this. Of the young ladies that you minister to, of all ages, is marriage a goal for them? Are you hearing girls say that they desire a husband and they want to build a family at some point?
You know, it's really cool. That Stars and Stripes Award, which is, I don't even want to compare because it's so much harder to do it better, to the Eagle Scout. It's called Stars and Stripes. Okay, so they write a spiritual life walk essay for me, and I read these things, and I read every one of them. I approve every one of these. I can't believe I do this, but I love it, and it helps me to understand where they're at. And there are so many girls that say, I would like to pursue this in college, but I want to ultimately be a wife and a mother. And it makes me so happy because back in my day, I felt worthless as that wife and mother, that stay-at-home mom. You know, that in the 70s, that was not cool. I was embarrassed at a party to even say what I did, honestly. But I think there's a reawakening. I really do. I have great hope. Yeah. I, you know, in Acts it says, pitch your tent in the land of hope. That's what I intend to do. And that's what we're encouraging our girls. There's great hope and glory. Even in these dark days, Jesus is still sovereign and he reigns.
Amen. You know what I tell the guys when we do our summer camps and we, you know, I and others of our staff, we do discipleship with the boys and teenage young men. And we have female counselors that, you know, all of our adult leaders are heavily vetted out. But I tell the young guys, I'll say, guys, the second greatest gift God will ever give you, second only to salvation, the second greatest gift the Lord will ever give you is a Christian wife. And guys, you need to pray and begin to orient your life. Because, and I really do believe this, Patty, and as time fleets away, I'll let you speak to this. But, you know, obviously the gospel is about salvation. Christ died, Christ rose again for our sins to be forgiven. But I love America. I love the church. But I love the family. And it's no wonder Satan would attack the family, because the family is such a precious gift from God. Folks lose at anything else but win with your family. Family is of immeasurable value. Would you agree, Patty?
Oh my goodness. It is the cornerstone of society. Even secular people would say that. That's why they want to rip it apart. So it is so important. And, you know, we have to be intentional. And I want to just encourage your listeners to consider listening to our Raising Godly Girls podcast. We have it on Tuesdays and Thursdays in a short form. And then on Saturdays, I have special guests for a deep dive from our Radio Minute, which are the issues confronting today's girls and families. Just in general, we've got experts on every Saturday. So check it out. It's going to help just add some arrows to your parenting quiver so that you can feel like there is hope in this crazy world. And we know that Ecclesiastes says there's really nothing new under the sun. Now, Deuteronomy, maybe I'm missing it right now, but you know what I'm saying, that we've seen this before. We'll see it again until the Lord returns. But we serve a sovereign God who is still King of Kings and Lord of Kings.
Amen. Amen. You mentioned some resources. Last thing, that during COVID, your organization created some resources. Tell us about those again and where people can find those.
Right. Check it out at our website, AmericanHeritageGirls.org, or go to RaisingGodlyGirls.com.org. And you'll find these free ebooks. One is on A Raising Godly Girls Guide to Biblical Worldview, another Gender and Identity, another Fear and Anxiety, another Peace in Times of War and Conflict, and our latest, Resilience. We're going to keep on doing this because we've got 30 years of experience under our belts, and we have something to share with Christian parents all across our nation.
Amen. Amen. Is there a merit badge for like citizenship or civics and voting?
Oh, you bet. And guess what else? You're going to love this. You have to earn your Our Constitution badge in order to earn your Stars and Stripes. We have an entire area or group that's called My Heritage. We work with the Patriot Academy, the Constituting America, a whole lot of partners. Oh, yeah. that come along, Summit Ministries, Museum of the Bible, you name it, we're partners with them and helping to just expand our territory by offering great experiences for our girls.
Well, you are a sister in Christ, a colleague, and a friend, Patty, and American Heritage Girls. You have truly been raised. Listen, to paraphrase Esther 4:14, you've been raised up for such a time as this.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you for joining today's Truth and Liberty livecast. You can watch today's and past livecasts in our archives at truthandliberty.net. Our goal is to educate Christians and connect them with resources and organizations to help them impact their sphere of influence. You can help us accomplish this by making a donation at truthandliberty.net/donate. Join us next time for more Truth and Liberty.